So just start with a couple easy questions.
So if I'm doing this, is that hidden?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yep. It's from about here.
Oh, perfect.
Yep. So just start with your name, title, and we'll go from there.
All right. Mike Roach, Director of Business Development at the Alliance.
And can you tell me what the Alliance does?
So the Alliance is a network. So think of networks like Anthem, United Healthcare, Quartz, Dean. Where we're a little different is we're a not-for-profit cooperative that believes the data that we collect from claims repricing belongs to the employer.
Can you tell me a little bit about, I mean, your subhead here is self-funding smarts.
Right. So we believe that one of the reasons that an employer will self-fund is to get access to their data, because you can't control what you can't manage. And if you don't know where your money's going, how can you control it? So when we reprice the claims, we gather all that information. And when an employer or a consultant asks for it, we give it back to them so that they can see, where do we have all of our MRIs? Where do we have all of our knees replaced? And is there another provider that can do that same service for a better value with equal quality?
Can you describe what repricing a claim means?
So we have contracts with 39,000 providers. I have to check that number. So if the provider charges $100 and we have a contract with them that says any Alliance member will only pay $50, we get the claim in with the $100 on it. We reprice it based on our contract to $50, and then we send that off to their third-party administrator to be adjudicated based on their plan design, and then they'll send out an explanation of benefits to the employee to let them know if they owe any of that to the provider based on how their plan is set up.
And how do you interact with third-party administrators?
So we work with about 42 different third-party administrators. The connection we have with them is really twofold. One, we get eligibility files from them so that we can know if we get a claim in on Bob Smith from Nick's Towing in Rockford, is he an actual employee there? If so, we reprice that claim, and then on a daily basis, we send those out electronically for the most part to the TPA so they can adjudicate them. So it's making sure that we work in conjunction with each other to make sure the claims are getting repriced just for the employees who are on the plan.
So you are not providing plans per se. You are providing kind of a wraparound service?
So you are correct. We do not provide plans. We provide the network. So when an employer self-funds, they get to make the decision on how do all those pieces of the puzzle come together. One of those pieces, and a very important one, is the network. So when employers look for a good network partner, they want someone who has a broad network, who allows them to put their plan together the way they want from a network structuring perspective. So we need to make sure that we can work with as many different TPAs as an employer may be interested in.
So describe a little bit between the difference between self-funding and fully insured.
This is my favorite one. So one of my favorite analogies to use is a puzzle. So both fully insured and self-funding have all the same pieces. When you fully insure it, they come all put together. You do not have to worry about your third-party administrator, your pharmacy benefit manager, your network, your stop-loss vendor. That's all encompassed in one easy package, and you write a check every month, and you're ready to go.
You being the employer.
With self-funded, and it's important to have a really good consultant when you do this, you get to pick who all of those partners are. So you can find the network that fits your culture best. I want to tier my benefits and help my employees find value. I want a fully transparent PBM, my pharmacy benefit manager. I want to understand where my rebates going. And am I getting the best price on these prescription drugs? I want a stop-loss vendor that gives me credit for the things that I'm doing to help control costs. And I want a third-party administrator who is progressive and helps me control those dollars, making sure that they are paying. And when they say they are paying, they're taking the money out of my account, just the things that should be paid.
Are you also helping work with like alternative funders? Alternative funders, like for prescription benefits?
Oh, so we do not. So we've been around about 35 years, and we recognize that being the best network we can be is the biggest benefit to the now north of 500 employers that we work with. The pharmacy benefit segment of that puzzle is incredibly complex. If you look at the contract from a pharmacy benefit manager, even if you've been in the self-funded arena for a long time, you may not understand it because they have their own verbiage and their own nomenclature and acronyms and AWS, and it is quite complicated.
Mm-hmm. Again, that's one piece of the puzzle, and you help consult on that?
So we will give a recommendation. So if a consultant comes to me and says, we have an employer in Janesville, they're looking for a good...
Hold on one second.
Sorry.
That's okay. Hold on, he's going to...
Yep.
Oh, geez.
That's okay. I don't want you to be giving an amazing answer and the team's message comes up and then while we're paused,
yep,
can you just do a quick, yeah, I don't want you to look at that later and be like, okay, yeah. Just start from the beginning of that question.
What was the question?
Do you consult on the PBM part of the puzzle?
So we don't really consult on anything other than the network piece. However, if a consultant comes to us and says, we need a good PBM, we need a TPA that works in the Chicago market, we'll give them two or three that we work with who do a really good job for us and let them decide which is best for their situation. You know, it can come down to everything from the pricing to what's available for the extra bolt-on services that may save them money in the long run. It may come down to a personality of who do we think we'll work best with. So we know what we don't know. Mm-hmm. So we want to give them an opportunity to make that decision for themselves, but we'll definitely give them some options.
And so would you say self-funding is better than fully insured or just different?
Well, now I may be a little biased, but I'm going to say it's better. So when we reformed 35 years ago, the companies that started us wanted a couple of things. One, they wanted access to their information. And two, they wanted to understand why they got the increases they got every year. Well, what self-funding does is, one, it gives you access to all your information. So that when you look at your renewal every year, you can see exactly why you got the increase or decrease that you received. Mm-hmm. You know, I think self-funding lets the employer take control of the second or third biggest line item on their budget. You know, if you're not trying to manage it and you're fully insured, you're going to get an increase probably every year. The last few years, that's been a double-digit increase, and it's getting more and more difficult for employers to find a way to control that cost and then determine how much are we going to pick up and how much are we going to pass along to the employees. So I think self-funding gives you much more flexibility in how you put your plan together. Mm-hmm. And if after the first year one of those pieces isn't working like you thought it would, you can exchange it without having to upset the rest of it.
Mm-hmm. So what are one or multiple pieces, kind of the big advice that you give to employers if they're looking at self-funding?
Yeah. One, the word transparency should be asked as many times as you can. And I think that's the thing that is setting the market apart now with all the laws that have been passed on hospital price transparency. There's a number of really good PBMs out there that are fully transparent. It's making sure that the employer understands where all those dollars go. I mean, even things like the consultants having to report how much they made in a commission from a vendor, so that you know exactly what you're spending. You know, when I started doing this 35 years ago, there was none of that information available to an employer. You just took it on faith that your consultant and your network and your PBM were all doing the right things for you.
And what do you think employees should know, especially when a lot of times they don't even know self-funding is different from fully insured?
Yep. From an employee perspective, and whether you're fully insured or self-funded, it's understanding your plan and how you can make it work for you. At the Alliance, we are big proponents of tiering networks. So if we know that a provider is going to bring value, we will encourage an employer to put them in a tier above the rest of the network. And we use MRIs because it's easy and everybody knows what an MRI is. There are a couple of vendors in the greater Madison market now that will do every MRI they can, and that's all of them, for less than $1,000. The same scan at a system will probably run you $2,200 or more. So if I've got a high deductible plan and I can get the same service for $1,500 or $1,600 less, why wouldn't I do that? You know, I think the other thing that they need to be aware of, that's what getting old does for you. Employees, what do they need to know? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, if you're self-funded, what employees need to know is that your employer has now become the insurance company, because being self-funded, you pay the claims every month. So if you as the employee are good stewards of the plan and seek value, that should have a trickle-down effect, so that the next year you don't see your part of that premium go up. You may not have to change deductibles or co-insurances, so you can get some stability in your plan. So knowing that you're self-funded and that there's value to be found for a number of different procedures, seeking them out will help you in the long run as well.
Okay. So some of the patients that I have been speaking with have had issues with their medications, mm-hmm. and these are kind of higher need patients. So maybe some tier four or all tier four drugs aren't covered, and these are more expensive medications. So cancer, Crohn's, rheumatoid arthritis, MS, HIV aren't covered mm-hmm. under Plan X, even though those meds might be fully insured under a plan that's regulated by the ACA.
Right.
So what do you say to these employees or patients when then they're on the hook for 100% cost share?
Yeah. So we don't have anything to do with the pharmacy benefit and how that plan design is structured. You know, that's one of the things that I think an employer can make sure they find in that PBM vendor is, how are we going to address those things? As you see more and more biosimilar and gene therapies coming out, this is going to be a even bigger question for the employer. You know, there's a couple of drugs coming out, they're going to be $3 million a piece. How am I going to cover those? And how does that trickle down to the Humiras and the Stelaras that folks need on a more regular basis, but are still, you know, thousands of dollars a month?
So it comes down to educating the employer and the employee about the risk?
I don't know if it's the risk. I think what a good consultant will do is mirror the plan. So if the plan that we had covered all those prescriptions and the new one, say, isn't going to cover Humira, digging into the claims file, finding out who's on Humira, and helping them find an alternative before it jumps up and is a surprise to someone.
So I asked about alternative funders. So one patient advocate that we spoke with, you know, said, like, in any kind of job or field, there's good actors and bad actors. So some plans are better than others. Yeah. Some, you know, brokers or third-party administrators are better than others. So how do you ensure that self-funded plans are working for employees and you can trust what your broker is saying?
Yep. And that goes to what we talked about earlier. When someone says to me, who's a good TPA? I'm never going to give them one because, you know, I know who I think does a really good job. That's one of the upsides of being self-funded. Like I said earlier, you can take those pieces and move them about every year. If you find that one of them isn't working well or somebody new comes into the market that is just head and shoulders better. The other thing about being self-funded, you've got a network who reprices the claims. You've got a TPA that looks at the claims. You've got a stop-loss vendor that looks at the claims. So it's kind of a checks and balances. If I tell a group, we think that using our network will save you 45% on your total claim spend, they don't have to take my word for it at the end of the year. The stop-loss vendor will tell them. The third-party administrator will tell them. Same with the PBM. So there's some checks and balances in place, and at the head of all this is the consultant. And that's their job, is to make sure that they're gathering all that information and making sure it all checks out.
If an employee really does need something that isn't covered, let's say it's a tier 4 drug, mm-hmm. Should they consider going to the marketplace because their self-funded plan is going to leave them with a 6-digit bill?
So that's a tough question. Yeah. It gets outside of my expertise on what is allowed. Because
background dipped on us. Sorry about that.
No problem. Okay.
You think with technology, they can just put that bad boy up there for an hour and a half.
Right.
So should someone who is looking at having a 5 or 6-digit bill move to the exchange? You know, again, that's what a good consultant will help you with. Part of it's going to depend on what kind of coverage is offered through your employer, what do you have access to, and what can the exchange do for you?
So is it difficult for human resources departments to take this on because all of a sudden it becomes its own field of expertise and you have human resources people, you know, answering to claims for employees? It seems like a lot.
So you've heard me say this, I'm going to guess 8 times. If you have a good consultant, self-funded is no more work than fully insured. They will be there to help with the claims questions, doing all of the analysis to make sure that the pieces of the puzzle that you choose are going to fit together well, work in a manner that isn't going to cause you more headaches. Because, you know, when we look at the HR teams that are some of our clients, it may be 2 people in HR for a 200 life group. They need to know that the moving from fully insured to self-funded isn't going to be any more work because they just don't have the capacity. And that's why having a good broker is key to making the whole self-funded plan work.
So if an employee is having difficulty like appealing a mm-hmm. denial, is that something that they would then go to the Alliance for? Or is that something they can, you know, theoretically work with you on?
So in that case, they'd go to the TPA. Okay. Because we get the claim, we reprice it, whether if it's in network, and we send it off to the TPA. What the third-party administrator does is adjudicate that claim based on their summary plan description, which is, you know, about that thick. They're the ones who make the determination to process as in, you know, in accordance with the plan, or, you know, this isn't covered. So if that happens, they work with start with the broker and have them help you figure out how to appeal that with the TPA.
And so, like you said, the plan documents can be this thick. Is it difficult to have employees understand what's in a plan? Because, I mean, it's really dense and it's really complicated.
Yep. And you know, whether you're fully insured or self-funded, that plan doc is the same. I think as long as an employee understands the high-level pieces of their plan design, deductibles, co-insurances, what's on their formulary list from their PBM, who's in network from a doctor and hospital standpoint, that's going to cover 95 to 98% of everything they do during the year. Once in a while, you may run into something in that summary plan description that is a rarity. But again, there it goes back to the working with your consultant and the TPA.
Okay. So another patient advocate said that elevating a complaint for a claim denial to the Department of Labor takes a lot of bravery from the employee because they are kind of going up against their employer and there might be a fear of retaliation. What's your response to that?
That's a tough one. I think if the employee thinks they're in the right and has exhausted all other avenues through the TPA and the broker, you know, that may be the last opportunity they have. But I think you're right. I think that could be a little intimidating.
Have you had to deal with the Department of Labor as you help employers work through plans and potential denials and appeals?
Knock on something looks like wood. We have not. So I've been here 10 years, and we've never had to escalate anything to that level.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
So a recent WMC survey, I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
So the top concern for employers is healthcare costs. Are self-funded plans just a necessity in this world as healthcare prices go up?
Again, I'm biased. I think so. If you're a group that has more than 100 people on your plan, and that number has come down significantly, we have groups, well, take the Alliance, for example. We have, I think, 40 people on our plan. We're self-funded. Now, we're a bit of a unicorn because this is where we live every day. But even if you're a group of 75 on the plan, you can start to look at self-funding. And again, it goes back to the ability to measure, understand, and control your plan. We have a number of groups that have gone 6, 7, 8 years, no plan design changes, no increases in premiums. Because they are able to look at the plan and structure it in a way that helps the employee save money, helps the employer save money as well, and controls that, that cost that continues to skyrocket.
So do you, I guess after this, do you have data you might be able to share to the best of your ability that maybe shows premiums compared to fully insured plans or anything like that?
Do we have any that would be
direct? I'm trying to think. We have stuff in share. So you're looking for a 1-to-1,
I know that's difficult. So I guess any kind of fact sheet you have that maybe shows a little bit of cost savings or something.
Yep.
Because the idea is that, like you said earlier, if the employee is a good steward of the plan, the employer saves money, but it also keeps costs down for employees. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just curious, as you said, data.
Yep.
Anytime we can show what that means in numbers, it can be helpful.
Yep, absolutely.
So, yeah. Anything you can think of, just let me know.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting stories by employer. You could look at one employer and say this employer saved, who we're giving, Gamber Johnson, they saved $1 million by going self-funded, I think it was. and they've just reinvested that into like their facility and like their employee benefits and like, stuff like that. So I mean, we could tell it from a one, you know, or a Broadway. Yeah. So.
Okay.
I don't know what would be helpful. I can just send you as much.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, and but what Philip's done is, you know, we talked about how we let employers mold our network. He's identified with our help a list of providers that we call them preferred value providers, because we know that they're going to give you a great value, a great service, and almost more importantly these days, quicker access. So he has those in a tier, and if employees use them, it doesn't cost him a dime. Use direct primary care, independent direct primary care, which is becoming almost corner to corner in the state, something that's available. You know, 3 years ago in Madison, I don't think we had any. I think we're up to 8, 10. And they can really help quarterback that. If you need an MRI, here's where your employer thinks there's value or knows their value, and that's where they think they'd like you to go. And if the employer does a good job of explaining to the employees, we are now the insurance company, and we have a direct, if we can have a direct effect on our premiums next year, you know, it's amazing what folks will do when they know that if I do these three things next year, when I go to my open enrollment meeting, I don't have to hold my binder and go, oh, please, less than a 5% increase.
Have, you know, these large Fortune 500 insurance companies been a contributor, do you think, to increased healthcare costs?
Oh, I think there are all kinds of folks who have helped increase healthcare costs. I wouldn't say they're the sole reason, but oh, see, it saved me. Let me think of a good answer. Of course, I'm out there saying that they are looking out for your best interests anyway, every day. So, you know, and I think you know, I think a lot of it comes back to transparency. Mm-hmm. You know, we are, I think, sometimes transparent to a fault. All right, are we ready?
Yeah.
So I don't think you can pin the increasing cost of healthcare solely on the Fortune 500 folks. But I think their lack of transparency contributes to it. You know, if they were willing to share all their prices, and help employers find value, it would go a long way to helping control that. You know, I think the medical field and the increases in the technology have contributed to it. We talked earlier about $3 million pharmaceuticals. I think it all contributes to it.
What do you want to add that I haven't asked?
You know, I think if an employer has 75 or more employees on their plan, ask your consultant about self-funding. Is it right for you? Even if it's not, start to learn about what it is and how it works and how it can be effective, because then you've always got that option ready to go if you get an increase from your fully insured carrier that you don't agree with.
No, I mean, do you want to talk about just like the general interest in self-funding has kind of increased a little bit, like in the last couple of years? I don't know if you've seen that.
No, I don't want to talk about that.
No.
yeah, so like I said, I've been here 10 years. In the last 3 years, we have seen more consultants start to come to us and ask questions about self-funding. Who's it right for? Because I think they wrestle with the same things that employers wrestle with. We're a mid-sized company. We got another 19% increase from a fully insured vendor. We're in a pool with a bunch of other companies, and we had a really good year, but we still got an increase. How can we address it? So the number of of companies that have sent us an RFP just to see what it